Welcome back to If the LGBTQ Community Wasn't So Loud, Would the Church Still Be Silent? My name is Taisha Holt, and I express the gospel in a way that brings truth to the LGBTQ community and equip the church on how to effectively reach those that are practicing homosexuality. Just a quick recap from the last two episodes. The first episode, we really talked about what does coming out really mean. I mean, in order for a person to come out of the closet, they first have to feel trapped in one. On the second episode, we really talked about what it was like being in that closet. Most people look at coming out as a sign of celebration when really it is a sign of surrender. So today we are going to talk about what it was like for me when I came out of that closet, which I have found to be a very familiar experience for most. When a person comes out of the closet, this starts the beginning stages of the character they are going to operate in, which is built off the reactions and responses they get from other people, especially those they come out to first. Remember, from episode 2, we learned that same-sex attraction is a real emotion and homosexuality is a learned behavior. The only way a person learns to be gay is to come out of the closet. You don't learn to be gay in the closet. You only learn how to adjust to the lies in the closet, not the lifestyle. Having a same-sex attraction and living a homosexual lifestyle are two different things, so let's talk about it. In homosexuality, when you are learning to play a role, it creates an emotional adrenaline that runs so deep, it feels like you're coming into your identity or found your true place in life. When in reality, your life has now become a live memory game, or I like to say, this is when a person steps into fully embracing deception while taking on a character to manipulate. Homosexuality is a live memory game. For example, a girl who is taking on the characteristics of a male will study the male to learn how to mirror their actions in order to resemble their character, or should I say gender. Each person will study the role and characteristics of each gender and choose their lifestyle based off the memory bank of positive responses they've seen the others get that are not in homosexuality. They are so good at this memory game, most people fall right into interacting with the character they've built and not the person playing the role. Going back to the title of this podcast, if the LGBTQ community wasn't so loud, would the church still be silent? The LGBTQ community are not the only ones responsible for creating such a complex community, because you have people that have never practiced homosexuality, in heterosexual relationships, some even married. I'm talking about men that have no same-sex attractions. They have no interest in being gay, but they will respect a girl that dresses like a boy as if she's a man, as long as she's mirroring the characteristics they believe make up the male identity. Same goes for a woman who has never had a same-sex attraction or practiced homosexuality. She will respect a man that dresses and acts like a woman as if he's a woman, as long as he mirrors the characteristics that she believes makes up the woman's identity. I'm telling you, people, homosexuality is so much more than just being gay. It's a learned behavior that feeds off the reactions and responses of other people, especially those that are not in the LGBTQ community. But we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every single ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Let me tell you what I learned when I came out. See, a lot of people, before they come out, will find ways to test the waters by asking hypothetical questions to see how their friends and family members would respond or react. I did not have to rely on this method as much because I started to dress like a boy in kindergarten. So by the time I was ready to come out, I was already being approached by girls that was very surprised when I told them I wasn't gay. Here's the root of my foundation to the character and lifestyle I built when I played my role in homosexuality. The first person I came out to was my stepbrother. Yeah, you remember him from the second episode. When I came out to him, he was terrified. I will never forget the look in his eyes. He kept saying he felt like something was wrong. He didn't feel right about my decision, and that if I was going to talk to girls, that he didn't want to be around me when I did. So of course, that made me feel rejected. But because I spent so much time in that closet trying to figure out my same-sex attraction, his rejection didn't make me alter my decision. I just immediately looked at him as my enemy and told myself, if he can't accept me for who I am, he doesn't care about me, so I will train myself not to care about him or what he thinks. Learned behavior. The second person I came out to was a girl that I would always see at the Boys and Girls Club who would always tell me I was gay and how I need to stop denying it. I believe she assumed I knew this about myself because I always dressed like a boy. I ran into her at the mall unexpectedly, and I asked her for her phone number. When I got her number, she said to me, "Finally, you grew some balls." When she said that, nobody in the world could have made me believe that I didn't just grow a pair. Hearing that made me feel so great. I held that number in my pocket and kept rubbing it like if I had the winning lottery ticket. My role in this new lifestyle was growing based off the response and reactions I got from people in the beginning stages of coming out. When she said those words to me, that made me feel like I was taking the right steps to find the answers to my same-sex attraction. The third person that found out was my mother, whom I did not voluntarily come out to. She had found a letter from the girl I got the number from. And in this letter, she was expressing how much she liked me and how she wanted to be my girlfriend. I remember my mom asking me, "Are you gay?" I looked at my stepbrother who got up from the kitchen table because he already knew the answer to the question and he didn't feel good about it. I looked at my mom and said, "Yes." All I remember was hearing glass shatter as she dropped the plate she was holding. Then her voice followed the shattering glass. "So you're a nasty dyke? You want to walk around and lick on girls? You are disgusting. I knew something was wrong with you." She immediately became my enemy because she had no idea how long I was in the closet and how hard it was for me to come out. Her nasty slurs wasn't stopping me because I refused to go back in that closet. So in my mind, I believe I lost my brother and my mom when I came out. But I had a new girlfriend. Last but not least, after my mom cursed me out, she dropped me off at school. By this time, over Christmas break, word has spread that I had come out and was dating a girl from another school. Walking into school, I was so sad, confused, and hurt by the way my mom talked to me and the way she made me feel from all the names she called me. All that changed when I walked through the doors of the school. The amount of praises I received from the boys continuously saying they knew it. They knew I was gay, followed with numerous amounts of hugs and kisses and letters I got from girls saying, "Can we be your girlfriend? I don't like girls, but I like you. I always thought you dressed better than all the boys. You remind me of a real boy." At that moment, I didn't care if my mom hated me or how disgusting she thought I was. I didn't care if my brother didn't want to be around me. In my mind, I developed a belief that I have hate without love at home and acceptance and love at school, which made me develop a mindset no matter what judgment I go through during my journey, there's always acceptance somewhere I just have to find it. Hence, the LGBTQ community. The rejection I felt from my stepbrother and the hate I felt from my mom actually encouraged me to be the best gay person I could be, to prove to them that this was who I am and not who I'm trying to be. Please remember this, people. No one, and I mean no one, can live a lifestyle of homosexuality without having resentment towards someone or something. Homosexuality is so complex, but we are going to dissect this lifestyle one episode at a time. Homosexuality is controlled by an unnatural spirit that usually grows from trauma, choice, or exposure. These are the main three identifiers that can best describe what type of gay identified person you're dealing with. You won't figure out what led a person into the lifestyle of homosexuality by studying the definitions behind the false collections of identities they presented to us. The only way to find out what kind of gay identified person you're dealing with is if they feel comfortable enough to share their story in the closet before coming out. Then and only then will you find out if what led them to practice homosexuality was due to trauma, choice, or exposure. Everyone has a different mental, emotional, and social reaction to whatever events caused them to believe they had to practice homosexuality to discover their identity. When listening to their story, you want to listen for these three identifiers: trauma, choice, or exposure. Number one, trauma. A person involved in homosexuality due to trauma have experienced a lasting shock resulting from an emotional disturbing experience. People falling into this category use homosexuality to cope with the pain of their trauma. They are experiencing a spiritual stronghold that has caused them to have a huge mental disconnect. Their story will reveal the missing pieces they refuse to acknowledge due to the risk of losing their homosexual lifestyle. Everything reminds this person of that closet. They fight to never go back there. A person being gay by choice, for these individuals, being gay is entertaining. In these cases, homosexual practice is not a stronghold. They enjoy the emotional connection. They are not searching for identity. Key things to look for in this person's story is a pattern of unhealthy or abusive relationships with the opposite sex. Or look for these key phrases they most commonly use. I'm only gay for this one person I'm currently with. It's something about him or her. I'm not gay, I'm just gay with them. These are the people that usually identify as bisexual. The lifestyle of homosexuality is not a stronghold for them. It is just entertaining. A person in homosexuality by choice are experimenting. They are not searching for identity. They have no emotional detachment to truth or their identity. They're just having fun being entertained by the lifestyle. A person being gay due to exposure. Those who start practicing homosexuality due to exposure don't embark on a path of homosexuality due to battling a trauma or making a choice. Although everybody chooses to practice homosexuality, everybody's motive is not the same. A person in homosexuality due to trauma, the lifestyle defines their identity. A person in homosexuality due to choice, they are entertained by the lifestyle of homosexuals. A person that's in homosexuality due to exposure, they have watched someone living out or modeling a homosexual lifestyle in front of them. Depending on that modeler's level of influence in their lives, they can be inspired to mimic the modeler's action and follow their lead into a homosexual lifestyle. They usually grow up with the mindset believing whom you date is based off what you're exposed to at the time and how you feel about a person. They don't see gay how the rest of the world views gay. Now, a person in homosexuality due to choice or exposure, they may not have a closet experience. Their experience in coming out is totally different from those that have been traumatized into the lifestyle, which is why listening to their story is so important. It reveals to you what triggers led them to enter the practice of homosexuality. Was it trauma, choice, or exposure? Now, once a person begins to practice homosexuality, they can become accessible to experience trauma, choice, and exposure in the lifestyle, but every person starts with the influence of one, trauma, choice, or exposure. Let me tell you, I didn't leave homosexuality because I was hurt or convicted. I was very successful in my sin. This is a lifestyle that offers you everything outside of love and truth. This is a world outside of the world you know. If you have never experienced it personally, you could never understand what's going on in it from the outside looking in. And that's why I'm going to do my very best to dissect the LGBTQ community and expose this lifestyle that has so many bound in deception. The more you understand about the lifestyle, the more you're going to understand how important it is for us to grow in knowledge and why it's so hard for a person to leave the only thing that brought comfort to the very uncomfortable feeling of having a same-sex attraction. Until the next episode, ask yourself, if the LGBTQ community wasn't so loud, would the church still be silent?